Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh yes, we are here. We are ready to kick off another DFS show over here on the Big Tilt. I'm excited. I'm ready for this one. We got a full slate almost, outside of there being one extra game on the Monday night. And then we have, of course, Arizona, and we have, you know, Washington, but we didn't really care about those teams for DFS as much. We want those high scoring games, and we got some this week. But, you know, if I had to go through and I had to break all of these games down, I'm pretty sure that my brain would just shut down and I wouldn't be able to do it. So I had to bring in Mark Garcia over there from the First Mover Podcast, obviously on Player Profiler. Mark, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Chilling, man. Well, you brought on the right guy if you're looking for a full breakdown of all the games, because that's exactly what I do every week.
It's a lot, man.
This is it's whatever. I mean, I do most of the games over at 1 Week Season, we have another couple of contributors that help out as well. But this slate, dude, you were just talking about it. It is very interesting. There's a lot of like macro perspective game theory stuff going on with this slate that I think makes it really, really cool.
It's a weird one, man. Like it's very strange because like you have some obvious plays that you really want to run out, right? Like we talked about the Seahawks and the 49ers, like that's going to be a high scoring game. It's one of the only ones on the slate. And then we talk about, you know, the Chiefs and Bills, which, you know, we'll discuss here in a second, but that's supposed to be another high scoring one. Meanwhile, you have games that are hitting like 36 over unders and you're like, dude, that's gross. Dude, like, I don't even want to get anywhere close to that game.
There's a 33.0 with the Houston Texans. Obviously, they just lost Tank Dell against the Jets. And there's a 30.5, the Jags, with obviously CJ Beathard now and the Cleveland Browns. So yeah, there's a little bit of mix of everything here.
Yeah, it's kind of gross, but it's also kind of exciting. Like, I like to get gross sometimes. I like to feel around, but like even this mud is like a little thick for me. I don't know, man. Yeah. But I guess let's kind of start off and discuss this a little bit. I want to see if there's any games that most people are on. Like, let's just say the Chiefs and Bills that you might not be as hard about. Meanwhile, do you have any games that you're really stoked about that everybody else is like, nah, you got to fade that game?
This is a weird slate, and part of my process is I'm not really looking at ownership until like Friday evening. We're recording this on Wednesday. So I don't know where the field is going to end up. I have a good feel just from, you know, being around this game for so long. The Chiefs and the Bills are probably going to gain some significant steam. I see some ways to attack it and that I don't think the field is going to fully dive into. But to answer your question, I think the baseline answer is just Bills and Chiefs, just because that's probably where a lot of people are going to be starting their rosters this week, getting pieces, getting exposure, and then kind of figure out the rest. Because like you said, like it's kind of onesie twosies outside of that game. Yeah, we got Seattle and San Francisco. CMC is going to grab ownership. I think the other mistake I'll say where I think the field is probably going to make this week is just assuming that the Seattle Seahawks and San Francisco 49ers are going to play to a similar game to what they played to just 2 weeks ago, because this is their second game in 3 weeks. So they've got a full 2 weeks in between playing each other, which, yeah, thank you, AI, for helping us out with the scheduling, because that's a pure gem. I don't know, man. So, yeah, those are probably the two biggest mistakes I see, or the two ways I think the field is going to go where you can kind of differentiate.
Yeah, man, Debo's been hot. And honestly, don't forget about the playoffs last year where you know, the San Francisco 49ers just ran all over them using so many different dynamics. You know, so I think I am a little bit more interested in that game than I am the Chiefs Bills. I'm really not on the Chiefs Bills as much, which we'll dive into as we kind of break down the slate. But as for games that I'm actually really, you know, I might not be excited about the game, but I'm kind of excited about the stacks, is like Travis Etienne with the Jags defense, I think is very interesting. I mean, the Browns have been really good up against the running back thus far in the season, right? Not phenomenal, but pretty damn good. However, they have the second most big plays allowed. Excuse me. My dog loves to enter into the show right around this time, every single episode. Normally right after we kick it off. Anyways.
That's a good boy.
They have allowed the second most explosive running plays to the running back thus far on the season. Meanwhile, you're going to have who's ever at quarterback is going to have some turnovers. And I still think that you can end up going with one of the wide receivers for Cleveland over there. When you talk about like Elijah Moore having 10 plus targets from Flacco, I don't really care who's at quarterback. There's going to be turnovers and there should be passing opportunities for Elijah Moore. I think that Josh Allen's going to tee off. I think we're going to see plenty of sacks. I think we're going to see plenty of opportunities for that defense to put up points and touchdowns potentially. So I actually do like stacking that game. I'm just going to stack it with the running back and the defense, running back with just one wide receiver who should see enough targets to at least make them, you know, somewhat viable in this lineup.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting too, depending on how Cleveland decides, which direction Cleveland decides to go at quarterback, right? Because like if they play DTR, it sucks a lot of the upside out of this game. If they play like Gunslinger Joe, there could be some interesting spots to take. I mean, Joe Flacco led the league in intended air yards last week. Elijah Moore led the league in air yards last week. So this is a spot where there could be some upside. And I was like, before last weekend, I was like, there's no way that the Browns just come out and let Joe Flacco be Joe Flacco. I was like, there's got to be some like restrainer on him at some point. Like they're going to put the cuffs on him, dude. And then he comes out and he just slinging it around like standard Joe Flacco. I was like, oh, oh. So yeah, a lot in that game, I think, can be influenced by who they decide. The most recent reports out of Cleveland, they're like, we're not going to make a decision until we see both guys practice. So I don't know. Wide range of outcomes is where we sit now, but there could be some interesting spots there.
All right, Mark, let's go ahead and let's break down this episode. Let's get into it. You ready?
Let's do it, dude.
Let's go. All right, everybody, as you know, we are here to build some lineups. We are here to talk about some stacks that we like, some guys we really like to get into a lot of our lineups to kind of build them and to get them started. And then we're going to end up building a few lineups for y'all, three in total, kind of give you the skeleton, the outline, the success story as to what we see happening with this week. So make sure y'all stay tuned for that, of course. Make sure y'all get your pens and pencils and notepads ready. Mark, how are you starting your lineups out this week? Where do you really like to go? What are some of your studs, some of the games that you really want to get on?
The Chicago pass game against Detroit is very interesting. The Baltimore pass game this week is very interesting against the Rams. I don't think a lot of people are going to be starting their construction there. And then I also think you can mess around with some Josh Allen in ways that the field is probably not going to get to. So those are kind of where I'm focused right now. As you'll notice, like those are three of the highest upside quarterbacks in the league. And I don't think that their ownership is going to match kind of their chances of being like one of the top overall scoring quarterbacks here, which is a nice way to start your roster.
Mark, I think I said it for the first time on the show with you. If y'all tuned in since the beginning of this season, you know, we kind of had a breakdown and kind of talked about players that we always want to run out. And I don't remember if I said it on you or with you or on week one as to if it's Justin Fields, if it was Anthony Richardson, if it's any rushing quarterback, as long as they're below 7K, I'm playing them. I'm going to be getting them in my lineups. And Justin Fields, I mean, he's sitting number one on my board in terms of guys that I want in my lineups this week. We know that he routinely destroys the Lions on the ground in terms of rushing. We saw it again when they played, what was it, 2 weeks ago or so, maybe 3 weeks ago. He put up 100 plus rushing yards. You know, so I want Justin Fields in there. And then I don't mind stacking him with DJ Moore. I think that could go off. We've seen the fantasy output every single week whenever DJ Moore and Justin Fields play together. Meanwhile, Cole Kmet, you know, if we start to see the Lions shed coverage over to DJ Moore's side, somebody's got to get open, right? And I think that Cole Kmet could be that guy, because Justin Fields only really targets two guys. One's Cole Kmet, the other one is DJ Moore. So, I mean, I like running the stack with Cole Kmet. I like stacking it with DJ Moore. I'm probably not going to be stacking, you know, both together in the same lineup.
I'm actually most interested to do just that, because I feel like the governing thought about Justin Fields, a quarterback like Justin Fields, is you have to like single stack him, you have to skinny him. So I actually like DJ, it's very possible that some outcome like Justin Fields rushes for 80 yards and a score, tosses three touchdowns, one goes to DJ Moore and two go to Cole Kmet. Like that's how concentrated this pass offense is. So if that's the case, like, and I'm betting on this offense winning this week, as in putting up points, the fact that it's highly likely to come through those primary three guys, I think it's an easy way to make a bet in a leveraged sense on this slate. You can bring it back with Amon Ross St. Brown. You can bring it back. You don't have to bring it back, just because like the Lions are very weird. And we're talking about like breaking down a team's tendencies. The Lions are very weird. They're very consistent, but they're not very concentrated from expected production. And that's kind of weird too, because only two pass catchers are on the field more than like 80, 85% of the snaps on a weekly basis. It's just Amon-Ra St. Brown and it's just Sam Laporta. That said, like Amon-Ra St. Brown has been hyper consistent this year, but he has only two games where he's gone over 100 yards and scored. And he has one game on the other side of that coin. He only has one game this season where he hasn't done either of those things. So like, and he put up 95 yards in that game. So he's super consistent. He's super efficient with his looks, but the way that his role is in this offense, it's highly unlikely for him to put up like a score that you had to have now with his price approaching 9K. So it's like, yeah, like what if Amon-Ra goes for 90 yards and a score? So what? That doesn't mean really much to me at his lofty price tag. So the fact that like the Bears are cheap, the fact that like, The Lions have a split backfield. Both their backs are priced up. Amon-Ra's priced up. Sam Laporta's priced up. And then everyone else on their team is playing like 40% of the snaps. It's like, I can just run the double and get the exposure to the upside of this game environment without having to like force a bring back. So that's a very interesting way, I think, to approach the Bears this week, or that game, I guess.
Yeah, I understand exactly where you're coming from in terms of like the strategic aspect. If we see it as a runaway game, it could absolutely go that way. My concern is Jared Goff. Jared Goff is documented to do very poorly in poor weather. We're going to see very high winds. It's likely to either snow or just get really messy with the rain in terms of temperature. Now, we're not expecting a lot. It's not going to be, you know, more than an inch, 2 inches is what they're saying throughout the game. However, it's still Jared Goff in poor winter with a lot of wind. You know, wind typically plays the biggest factor in terms of average depth of target completions, completions on higher average depths of target. Meanwhile, just accuracy issues with Jared Goff. Now, what I think that this means is that we're going to see a lot of rushing opportunities from Jahmyr Gibbs and from Dave Montgomery. And that's pretty much what their game plan should be going into this week, is that they're going to rush the ball a ton, you know, up against this Chicago Bears defense, who, by the way, I'm not buying that the Chicago Bears defense is significantly better all of a sudden. I just think that they've played some really poor quarterbacks over the past several weeks. So I still think that there is opportunities to be had on this Detroit Lions team. But I'm a little bit worried about how many opportunities Justin Fields is going to have to complete balls to DJ Moore, to Cole Kmet, and still gain those rushing yards. Because we're going to see Detroit grind a lot of clock. And if it turns out that they use Jared Goff to throw a ton and he's not completing passes and he does struggle in the weather, well, then we might see it be, you know, turn into a, you know, Khalil Herbert type game where we're just going to see them, you know, run the ball a lot more often. We're not going to see Justin Fields pass for three touchdowns as much as what we would like for him to do.
Yeah. From a general sense, I think the field in DFS overrates the impacts of rain and wind. What I mean by that is rain is, and it depends on like defense or offensive tendencies and stuff like that from when you look team to team, but yes, Everybody is playing on the same field. So when you're talking about rain and when you're talking about a natural grass field like they have at Soldier Field in Chicago, everybody's playing on the same conditions, and the defensive backs, the safeties, the corners, they are reactionary. The route runners, the guys who are in a route, they know they can prepare with their how they're distributing their weight, and they know a cut is coming. They know kind of how to manage a messy field. Whereas the reactionary players, the defense, they don't have that luxury. So we typically see muted effects of rain as far as pass production. The wind is important, but it's only important when it comes to about the threshold I use is about 25 miles per hour sustained wind. And at a field like Soldier Field, the direction of the wind also means a whole lot. Because a lot of the time at Soldier, you get these crosswind components. So wind blowing across the field. Whereas if you look at like MetLife is a good example, a lot of the winds they get are like kind of down the pipe. So it's like influences deep passing one direction and doesn't as much going the other way. So I, just from a general sense, like I think the field just overweights weather. And from what I'm seeing, and it's still, dude, we're, like we said, we're recording this on Wednesday. So, models and weather expectations are going to be not very accurate. When we start getting to like Friday night, Saturday morning, and then obviously on Sunday morning, we'll have a little bit better idea. But I think right now I would just completely like get weather out of your mind, especially this early in the week, because then you start getting into these like psychological aspects of like, oh shit, I'm just going to cross this team off because we're expecting weather. So I prefer like, not even to like similar to ownership. I don't look at weather until Saturday typically.
Yeah.
Because I don't want those like biases to creep in. So I don't know, quick spiel, just the devil's advocate for that scenario. Yeah. I'll just leave it.
Yeah. I completely agree with you in terms of like, hey, we really don't know what's going to happen. You know, this is just more so of like a shit. If this ends up being the case, we could end up looking at a complete turn in terms of a point score. And I think that it feels like they've already accounted for this happening. I mean, we're talking about 25 mile an hour gust winds is what it's projected to be, but the bigger aspect for this mark is Vegas went from 44.5 over under down to 40.5 or 41.5 already. So people are already hammering this under. You know, like I said, if it ends up being clean, right, and we're not dealing with anything, no wind, you know, no rain, no snow, nothing like that, then throw everything I said out the window. Let's go, you know, run this on both sides. But I do agree with you that the Detroit side gets a little bit sticky over there, especially if the wind ends up playing a little bit of a factor.
Now, yeah, this game, real quick, this game has had one of the weirder line movements I've seen. It opened at 45 and a half. It was bet down to 40. So 5.5 points is massive. That's massive.
That's what I'm saying. It's huge. Like and looking then, at this point spreads.
So that was yesterday. It was bet from opening lines, so Sunday evening to yesterday. So that those like 3 days or 2.5 days, it was bet down from 45 and a half to 40. Today it was bet back up to 44.0 before settling now at 43 and a half. So like this is wild. the field doesn't know what to do. Like betting markets don't know what to do with this game, which I love because that's the kind of chaos that I think we thrive in. DFS players. But yeah, this game movement has been crazy.
Yeah, I'm going to love some Jahmyr Gibbs and Dave Montgomery. I think you could play them both in the same lineup this week, to be honest, if it ends up being all messy. Now, I do have one more game one more stack that I want to go through with you, and then I want to build a lineup. I want to throw this out there because Josh Dobbs, I think, is getting disrespected majorly. I think he's going to come out pissed off. You know, once again, you talk about trying to get in their mindsets. You really don't know what they're thinking, but I could only assume that this is his last shot. At least he feels like it. I think he's going to come out firing with Justin Jefferson, most likely coming back healthy. You know, the Raiders have been really bad the past 4 out of 5 weeks up against quarterbacks, although they haven't allowed a ton of touchdowns. Teams haven't had to put touchdowns against them. Meanwhile, you have Max Crosby getting a little bit reckless back there, getting a little bit impatient, you know, continuing drives when they shouldn't be continued with penalties. You could just see this whole defense is just restless, right? They're ready to get this season over with and start into 2024. It seems like the Vikings are the exact opposite right now. It just seems like the Vikings are ready to roll. The Raiders aren't. I kind of want to play some lineups over here with Josh Dobbs and Justin Jefferson. How are you feeling?
Yeah, that's also interesting because the Vikings are very much in like desperation mode. I mean, they have dropped, I think the Packers leaped them in the playoff standings in the NFC with that win last week. Oh, no, they didn't. They're both at 6-6. Minnesota. I don't know. That's a paragraph. I'm not reading that all. Minnesota and Green Bay are tied for in record at 6-6. They still play this year, but they play once more. I think the tiebreaker for that is that Minnesota beat Green Bay earlier. I'd have to look. But anyway, they're tied and for the sixth and the seventh playoff spots in the NFC. And obviously Green Bay plays on Monday night. They do have that game where they play left. But Minnesota has obviously been slipping over the previous couple weeks, and they're like nice and comfy lead for a playoff spot for one of those wild card spots in the NFC is gone. So yeah, there's a little bit of like fire behind or under them right now. They're getting Justin Jefferson back. Obviously we know they've got talent. And this is an unimposing matchup. So I don't hate that one bit. I think it's an interesting spot, especially at his salary.
All right. It's time to build a lineup, my friend. Where do we want to start this one? It feels like we're both on board with Justin Fields. I'll let you call the first one. Where do you want to go?
Let's do the Justin Fields double and just chew on it a little bit. See how it feels.
All right. Sounds good. We'll start out with Justin Fields. We're going to do DJ Moore, of course. We're going to do Cole Kmet. Now, I do want to play at least one running back from Detroit in this lineup. You know, they both went off the last time they played. You know, which one do you feel more comfortable with? Because Detroit has actually been, I mean, I'm sorry, Chicago has been somewhat porous up against receiving backs. You know, Jahmyr Gibbs might have his week once again.
Yes and no, I think. If I get a veto, can I veto that?
Yeah,
can we not play a Detroit back?
Which one would you like to play? Which route would you like to go here?
I don't want to play either back, honestly, either Detroit back on this lineup. Okay. I think the standard like mentality when we're building rosters is like the only way that this game has upside is if it like completely shoots out. The Lions, like we talked about earlier, they're just like this weird team where they could still be involved in a shootout, and the primary production could be spread against four guys, similar to like San Francisco. Is a good example, or Philly. It's like if all those guys are healthy, being David Montgomery, Jahmyr Gibbs, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and Sam Laporta, if all those guys are healthy, and then there's still outs to failure for like a long touchdown to like if J-Mo finds his way to a 40-yarder and kind of soaks up the production from a drive or two. So I don't know. Like, yeah, Jahmyr Gibbs looks good on paper in this roster, but I think that's kind of where like the field will want to go. And I don't think it's necessary. Particularly,
I don't think you're going to see a lot of resistance up against the field having the running out the two guys, the double stack, right? Isn't that the reason why
they're going
with the double stack?
Yeah, it is. It is. All right, I'll defer to you. You can throw Jahmyr in there if you want.
No, I want to throw out one more thing to you just to see if I can get you to at least slightly change your mind. I know you're more on game script versus players, right? But we talk about the Bears. They allow the third most targets to the running back position, third most receptions to the running back position, but they're allowing the most yards by a full 10 yards to the running back position per week. They are absolutely abomination. Through the air, they're allowing 10 more yards per week to the running back position because they are so bad about defending pass catching running backs. They just don't have the defense situation to do it. They don't have the players that can keep up with the running backs. They just let these running backs go all over them. And it's kind of crazy because you would think the Bears have a very subpar record. They don't play against a ton of receiving backs throughout the year. So it's not like teams need to pass against them, but yet they're still just giving up yards. They're literally just handing it to them on a silver platter saying, please use your running backs to pass against us because we can't stop them.
I want to, because I haven't broken down the slate fully yet. So I was curious to look at like how that's been since Montez Sweat came over. And it looks like it's only been four games. And it looks like it's been a lot better. They played the Panthers. They played this Lions team. They played the Vikings. So like two of those three teams, and they played the Saints since Montez Sweat came over. So, the Saints fed five targets to Alvin Kamara, one to Kendre Miller. The most production that they've given up through the air since Sweat came over was to this Lions team. And Jahmyr Gibbs saw six targets, put up six catches for 59 yards. So like while that, I think we're into the part of the season, I think, where the field is probably overweighting like season long metrics and not looking at like what has happened since the trade deadline. And particularly for a team like the Bears, where they've had a pretty large shakeup, and they were already like they're allowing the fewest yards per carry to opposing backfields this year. So that's like Dave Montgomery's off the table for me because of that. And then now that it's like, well, they're getting better against pass catching backs. They're getting more pressure with Sweat. He is that like that dynamic defensive lineman that end that can come off a tackle and come inside or come off a tackle and pursue inside because he's really athletic. So I don't know. That was just I talking it out because like I haven't even broken down that game yet. So that's a good discussion.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, this is just something where I want to throw it out. I'd rather people, you know as they get the best insight to it. So if you guys want to use Jahmyr Gibbs, go for it. If not, we're going to go ahead and skip him, at least for this lineup, and see if we can fit somebody else into this puzzle. So I guess at this point, you know, I brought up the idea of the Travis Etienne and Jags stack on defense. It kind of works for this game, and honestly, I don't think it's going to see a lot of high ownership. Is this somewhere where you could see yourself going?
Yeah, I don't mind that one bit. I mean, the Cleveland Browns are facing the highest rush rate of any team in the league. And it's because like their defense, their secondary, their defensive scheme has just been that good at suppressing production through the air. So yeah, Travis Etienne is a guy that has a clear path to like 22 to 25 carries. And at only 7K, I think that is a good bet to make.
Now, do we want to do the stack with the defense, or would we rather do a skinny run back with Elijah Moore or one of these other, you know, receivers? Obviously, we don't know who's going to be at quarterback yet.
That is interesting. And my mind immediately goes to Amari Cooper, actually. I know he's coming off. He has a concussion. He's not going to practice. He might be out, dude. He was concussed. So, let's go Elijah Moore. I think that's interesting.
All right. I like it, man. And honestly, like I feel like if you don't go Elijah Moore, then it's a requirement that you take the Jaguars defense, because if it's, you know, Doriel Green Beckham or
Dorian Thompson Robinson.
Thompson Robinson. Sorry, I was thinking of the ex receiver for the Eagles. But anyways, Thompson Robinson, you know, that's an easy toss up for a few sacks for Josh Allen back there, who should be dominating this this defense or this offensive line. Yeah,
so right, I got an interesting pairing to continue this roster build.
Yeah,
how much salary? So we have 52. What does the combination of CMC and Drake London look like as far as salary?
Ooh, all right. So we got CMC in there, and we got Drake London. Before we go through what's left over, I'm going to go ahead and read off the roster as well.
He's 46. So, yeah,
46. So we're looking at Justin Fields, Travis Etienne. We already had DJ Moore, Elijah Moore, Cole Kmet. We were sitting at 5,200. We are now sitting with Christian McCaffrey and Drake London. We have 3,500 remaining, which means that we can get a cheap defense and pay down and then get somebody at flex probably around the 4K range. Is this something that you're liking? Are you liking the sauce right here? Or is this something you want to be bold with?
Yeah, let's do that. Let's expensive is, hold on, I want to check something real quick. How expensive is JSN? Yeah, JSN's at 4,100, dude. That is where I'd probably go.
All right, let's go ahead and throw JSN.
And that leaves us 3K lineup for a D.
Yeah, which actually plenty of space. Yeah. We have the Vikings defense up against the Raiders, who, you know, I've talked about as the Raiders just, I do not see them performing very well. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's like 3,100, so we're a little bit above that.
Yeah.
We have the Browns. We can't really play in this lineup. We have the Panthers who, you know, are somewhat interesting, but, you know, I don't love that. I think it's just going to be a low scoring game with very low points scored, especially on the defensive side. We have the Falcons to pair with Drake London if we think it's going to be a blowout. We have the Jets up against Houston. We have the Broncos up against the Chargers. Are you feeling any of these that I've read off so far?
Dude, this is super, like, not what the general populace would do, but I'd actually prefer the Browns defense in this roster. If you think about like is there a path to a combination of Travis Etienne plus the Browns plus Elijah Moore? And it would require, I think, the I think it would require like the Jaguars controlling the game environment in the first half, which very clearly with a backup quarterback is going to be through ETN. And then like hopefully finding his way to like 70 yards and a touchdown in the first half. And then like a defensive touchdown or something in the second half from the Browns defense while, I don't know, can it happen? I don't know. It's super interesting.
This is my concern with it, right? So for those that have been following me for a while, they know that I've created the DOS score, which is the dump off containment efficiency score. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to get it out there this year, but I can still look at most teams and understand the formula that I have to tell if a running back typically will have success in the air versus a particular defense. Mm-hmm. And with Cleveland, they've actually done an extremely phenomenal job containing the running back position when they do see receptions. And Cleveland's mm-hmm. been winning in most of the games this year. So they will end up seeing, you know, some number of targets up against those teams. Now, it's not like they face the gauntlet of receiving backs, right? They face, you know, the Steelers, of course, the Bengals, the Titans, the Ravens, the Colts, the Seahawks. None of these teams really use the running back in the receiving game. However, when we look at the 49ers, for example, they were able to keep Christian McCaffrey to just 3 receptions for 9 yards and a touchdown. Mm-hmm. There's just certain levels that certain defenses, because of their scheme, can contain running backs a little bit better than the others, such as like the Browns, as we talked about earlier. And the Browns actually have one of them. So I don't think if Travis Etienne was facing, you know, the same sort of situation where, hey, they might be up, they could get a bunch of turnovers, score a touchdown late, but Travis Etienne could see work in the receiving game, I would be much more on board, right? If I thought that he could get 5, 6, even 7, you know, targets, I'd be much more on board. But Travis Etienne has to score touchdowns, I think, in this lineup to pay off that 7K. So we're talking about a very low floor, maybe a higher ceiling, but a very low floor game for the Browns that I don't know will get us there for the for that big time, you know, payoff.
Yeah, that's fair. And it like, I don't know, there's a discussion to be had about like what is important to defensive scoring, what is important to running back scoring now in like the current state of the NFL. Any running back you enter in a lineup that's not named Christian McCaffrey, you need them to pierce 100 yards on the ground. You need them to score at least one touchdown. And there are some backs that have like enough pass catching role to put up like something like 3 for 30 through the air, which alleviates one of the need for multiple touchdowns. But like the blueprint to 25 fantasy points is 100 yards on the ground on DK to get the bonus, a touchdown, and then if they don't have receiving work, multiple touchdowns. If they do have receiving work, enough to get like 3 for 30. So, and then like the flip side of that is like defense is just the most variant position. So it's just really hard to predict. So yeah, I don't know. We can put anybody in this. I think the Browns are fine. I think.
What about the Falcons up against Tampa?
Yeah, the Falcons are fine. The problem with the Falcons, I think they're still at only 12 turnovers generated this season. Correct me if I'm wrong on that. Did they get one last week?
Yeah, I don't have that number up.
Oh, yeah, they got 3 last week. So, yeah, heading into last week against the Jets, they only had 12 turnovers generated. Obviously, the quarterback situation in New York gave them 3 more. And, yeah, I don't know. Falcons are fine. Yeah, any of these guys, it's just like defense below 3K, it's fine. You're just looking for a defensive score.
Let's go with the Falcons. Let's go ahead and plug those guys in. Cool. And go from there. And let's go ahead and hit submit for that. Once again, we have Justin Fields, Travis Etienne, Christian McCaffrey, DJ Moore, Elijah Moore, Drake London, Cole Kmet, Jackson Smith and Jigba, and the Falcons defense that is entered in. How you feeling about that lineup? Give it a rating, 1 to 10.
Probably a 6 or a 7. But okay. It's going to depend on what contest you're putting it in. That's not a Millie Maker lineup per se. That's more of like a small field. It looks like that was a single entry $12 fair catch. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that's fine in that contest. I would more prefer to put that in like a smaller field single entry. Like one of the like secondary spy where like they release like 3 spies. The one with like, what is it? 2,200 entries, something like that. I don't know.
So I guess, did you like the base of it? Did you like where we started with Justin Fields, you know, the ETN, DJ Moore, Cole Kmet, did you at least give that a 10 out of 10 or a 9 out of 10or 8 out of 10?
No, It and why I say it's a 6 or a 7 out of 10 is because we used three wide receivers that were priced between 4,100 and 4,600. So that is not going to be done a lot. And I think people will look at that roster and say like, oh, it's better suited for Millie. It's not, because you need like large field contest like that, it's all about raw points. And the same can be said like for single entry stuff as well, but very clearly the score needed to ship those contests is a lot smaller. A lineup like that, for you to win like the Millie Maker with a lineup like that, you are making a bet that says those three wide receivers that we played that are between 4,100 and 4,600 are all going to score 25 plus fantasy points. Very unlikely to happen, right? Obviously, we did things where we kind of increased the chances per se, like by correlation and by stacking and all the things that we did. So yeah, for the $12 single entry contest, it's probably like an 8 lineup. Because I think there's nobody in that contest is going to have three wide receivers in that price range. It's not going to happen.
Well, if y'all want to use that base, right, what you got to do is you got to go in, you got to play some Justin Fields, you got to play some Etienne, right? You got to play some DJ Moore, maybe some Cole Kmet. And then you want to take that, right? And you want to plug it into the DFS optimizer, because that's what it's there for, right? It's there to create so many different opportunities. So maybe you don't play some CMC and you can get some of those higher end wide receivers that could really optimize that lineup. Go over there and check it out over there on playerprofiler.com. Podfather wants to say a little something about it too.
DFS getting harder every year, but we're here to make it easier with the DFS Dominator, because I know a lot of optimizers keep coming out. Oh, our optimizer. What about this optimizer? But that optimizer. Well, we have a cash game optimizer that leverages the projections from Dario, Billy, the award-winning projections at playerprofiler.com, and builds the best lineups for cash games that have both upside and stability, because that's what you want. It's a couple clicks, boom, boom, boom. You get the best possible lineup for your cash games. But for tournaments, traditional optimizers don't work. That's why we have a Lineup Genius, which takes you through the process of building lineups the way they should be built. Which quarterbacks you want to be overweight on, then building stacks, then setting runbacks, then optimizing, and generating up to 150 lineups that you can easily import into DraftKings, into FanDuel. That's the DFS Dominator. It's only $45. A year, not a week, a year. Just go to Player Profiler, click on the DFS Dominator from the menu, and you won't be sorry.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
That's right, folks. Go check it out. Honestly, I've been using it for years. I love it. Even if you don't have like, you know, a huge bankroll, right? You just choose those 25-cent games, those 5-cent games, and then max entry them. That's actually how I built up the start of my 2022 season. I ended up throwing $20 in there and maxed out the entries for 150 entry contests. I think I threw $40 in there. Dude, it ends up working like almost every time. It's magical. Go check it out over there, the DFS Optimizer. All right, we have to build another lineup. But before we do, Mark, we got to talk a little bit about some of these guys that we want to fade. We don't want anywhere close to our lineups for this upcoming week. It's tough, man, because there's just so many guys to choose from, I feel like. I mean,
yeah.
Do you want me to talk about Chris Godwin? Do you want me to talk about Puka Nacua? Do you want me to talk about – I mean, like, I just feel like there's so many different avenues that I can go with this one. But I guess, Josh Jacobs for me is probably the guy that, you know, I feel like I need to avoid. I don't know where to start, man. Where do you want to start?
Let's keep it at running back. And I think Austin Eckler is a very interesting name to talk about a fade. Yeah, I think the field is going to look and see his like that green 32nd next to the Denver defense. And while the Denver defense like they haven't been good against running backs, and they haven't been good against tight ends because they play so much zone. That's just kind of filters production in the middle of the field, particularly inline tight ends. But they've been better. They've been a better defense top to bottom over the last, 6 weeks? And so much of like the production that has been had against them has come from that game where they gave up 70 points. I mean, which makes a lot of sense. Give up 70 points, yeah. Get kind of crucified.
Such a massive, massive aspect of those games actually came from that. I mean, we're talking like 9 receptions, yeah. I think, or 11 receptions for like 100 yards and 3 touchdowns in the air alone. Like, yeah. Yes, I agree.
Yeah, and Eckler very clearly like is not right yet from his high ankle sprain. I think like 2 weeks ago, he was clocked running 13 miles per hour in the open field. I was like, bro, what? Bro. I got farts that move faster than that, dude. Like, what is this? But no, I mean, he's very clearly just not right. He's older. It makes a lot of sense. Like, he's going to take a little bit longer. But coming off a high ankle sprain, and yeah, he came back and he's played, but he's not right. So I think Eckler is an interesting name on the fade list because I think that people are going to look and just be like, yo, Eckler is how much? He's 7,600. I'm going to play Eckler because he's in a great matchup. And I would caution because the matchup isn't as good as it looks on paper.
I like it, man. Honestly, I like it. Let's go ahead and let's build another lineup. I want to use somebody a little bit different than the ones that we've been discussing. You know, we want to mix it up. We want to try and give people a different, you know, kind of look to it. So typically that starts at the quarterback position. You know, I mentioned Josh Dobbs. Are you in any way, shape, or form interested in Josh Dobbs, or would you rather go a different direction?
No, I think that's fun. Let's hit that.
All right, Josh Dobbs, and we want to avoid Justin Jefferson. No, I'm just kidding. We absolutely want to play Justin Jefferson with him this week. He's absolutely in, you know, every single lineup that has Josh Dobbs in it, but that's okay because, you know, that it's not going to be played that often. I'm going to expect less than 3%, maybe less than 5% at most. Ownership on Josh Dobbs, and that's if it even hits 1%. So him sitting at 5,900, I think is pretty sexy. He pairs nicely with 8,500 with Justin Jefferson. Do you want to run this back with Devontae Adams, you know, just in case you're down in the fourth quarter and you think that he can see a ton of targets? We know the Minnesota defense isn't great. Do you like it at all? Do you want to fade that? How do you feel like this game could go?
Yeah, I think that's fine again. It takes a lot of salary, but like from a theoretical perspective, what is important this season? We have to realize first that like scoring is down across the league. I've given the numbers in multiple places, reiterate them now. Like 3 years ago in 2020, the COVID year, teams were scoring 2.88 touchdowns per game. That was down basically consistently falling until last year where it was 2.43. So you talk about almost a full touchdown was being scored less last season when compared to 2020 per game, because, you know, whatever. This season, it's below 2.30 touchdowns per team per game. So over a full touchdown is being scored lower per game this year than it was in 2020. And when we started getting into like projections, we're in full swing in 2020 and people were basing and learning. And that was kind of like the explosion year for DFS. Like it was like the poker boom compared to that, like Chris Moneymaker's year, 2009, 2008, whenever that was, 2006. I don't remember. That was like the initial poker boom. The initial DFS boom happened like, I don't know, 7-8 years ago. This was like the secondary boom. People were at home. We were like, we need something to get us through this COVID nonsense. This was like the secondary football boom or DFS boom, right? And in that, we had a large influx of players that were all figuring out how to play this game. And what came of that, because scoring was up, that was the peak year in scoring. It was like the governing way to build your roster in DFS is a quarterback plus a pass catcher plus a correlated bring back. That formula like loses its gusto or its path to being optimal when scoring is down like it is this season. So that means basically two things for us. One is skinny stacks gain importance with no bring back. And the second thing is game environment bets or game environment like overstacks, like diving fully into a game environment gain importance because it's highly unlikely if a game that wasn't expected to blow up blows up, it's highly unlikely now that another game matches that. So it becomes increasingly important. I missed this when it happened, but like, did anyone play Tua plus Tyreek Hill plus Raheem Mostert plus Devon Achan? Like, nobody did that. Like, that would have shipped millimakers in week two or three or whatever the hell that was. So yeah, if a team like vastly overperforms expectations in this year in 2023, it means so much more to us. So all that to say, like, in a spot where the field's not going to Josh Dobbs, Justin Jefferson, I think it's fine to like throw Devontae Adams plus TJ Hawkinson onto this roster and say like this game puts up 70 points and no other game comes close to it on a week like this with like scoring is gross. I think that's completely viable.
All right. I'm down to do that. I could definitely go with Hawkinson as well. You know, I think that there are some decent tight end matchups this week. I mean, we got Kelce, Laporta, Hawkinson. Hawkinson is actually below Laporta now, which for me is still a little bit bizarre considering,
yeah,
you know, what Hawkinson can do.
Hawkinson, you know, is the tight end one this year. Like,
yeah, it's bizarre that he's sitting there third most expensive. You know, we have Kittle, Kincaid. Like, there is a lot of tight end options this week, but I would love to play Hawkinson and pay down with Dobbs. Now, I'm a little bit concerned where that's going to leave us with salary if we also throw Adams into this lineup, which, by the way, I don't love Adams, but I just think it makes too much sense. Like, you know, it's not like I'm going out and play Adams by himself. I don't think I'll have any lineups, to be honest, unless Adams just fits in as like the last piece because I have 7,500 left over for whatever reason. But I do think that in this lineup, it just makes too much sense that they're going to be down. They're going to have a lot of third and longs. Devontae Adams is going to have probably 10 receptions, you know, in this game, regardless if they stay in it or not. All right, so we're sitting here at 4,400 left with Dobbs, Jefferson, Adams, and Hawkinson. I'm going to throw in a placeholder defense for this one, right around the 3K. We'll say the Browns for this one in particular, because it's not likely that we're going to be able to fit Etienne in here, or really any Jacksonville guy that we would want to play. So we now have 4,775, so 4,800 left. Where are we going?
Let's knock out a running back spot. And in that same discussion of like, what do you need from a running back? It's the same across the board for everyone not named CMC. Keaton Mitchell is very interesting at only 4,900 because like he's obviously going to share the backfield. He's obviously going to cede goal line work to Gus Edwards, but that's not what you're playing him for. You're playing him to pierce 100 yards and score and then add on three catches for 30 yards. He gets to 25 points in a roster like this at only 4,900. It's money in the bank. So that's the kind of bet that you need to make if you're building a roster like this where you're betting on a game environment. It's like, now I've placed my bet on this game environment. I'm saying if that one thing goes right, I get four spots on my roster right. What can I do to like leverage that the most? It's like, who can give me production at a cheap price at running back that matches like Austin Eckler at 7,600? Like if Austin Eckler puts up 25 points, we're all like, okay, like that's fine at 7,600. Keaton Mitchell does it. Now we're like, we're in business, baby. So that's an interesting spot, I think, this week.
Yeah. I mean, this is Devon Achane, like, or Achane all over again. Like, this is a poorer version of him, but he's not worse. He's not really poor. He just will never see the opportunity that you know, Achane will see. So I love this pick. I think he's hyper efficient. I just hope that he has to get, you know, you have to hope that he gets north of 10, 12 touches in order to get there. I still think that he absolutely could with that few touches. I love this play. I'm 100% putting him in the roster. Now, just a guy that's 100 bucks more than him, I'm just curious what your feel is on this, because Dameon Pierce came back, you know, from an injury, obviously didn't see the full workload, still is battling with Devin Singletary, but he has a dope matchup up against the Jets, who are 26th up against running back. We don't expect a lot of points to be scored. This could be somewhat of a, you know, just a gross matchup, but is there any way that you could see yourself putting Dameon Pierce into a tournament lineup?
I don't think so. There's a 30-minute conversation that can be had. Why?
we don't got to go into all that. Just
yeah. The like the Cliff Notes version of that is Dameon Pierce is a first read rusher, and he's like, I don't want to say he has poor vision, but like he has poor vision. He's a one read running back that is capable of hitting a hole, a first read hole, and gaining 8 yards. Like, that is Damian Pierce. Not that he's awesome, but Devin Singletary is a vision quarterback and a patience quarterback.
Yes.
And that is important because of what we're seeing Bobby Slowick do with his offense. I mean, we have, with Laremy Tunsil healthy, they have like two of the top run blocking and pulling tackles in the league. And they're using them like that, which is really crazy. They're doing some really interesting stuff in that like third generation West Coast offense. Now with Tank Dell out, we might see them rely a little bit more on the running back game. But all that to say, like, Devin Singletary is a better pure fit as a runner in this scheme. So I don't know. I don't know. I wouldn't go there personally.
All right. So yeah, no, I wouldn't either. I just wanted to get your take on it because I have seen Damian Pierce name pop up, obviously with his like reemergence with 15 touches and still only got 40 yards. I mean, yeah. I'd love it. Just wanted to get your take. As for, you know, these other guys that actually took a little bit of money away, not a ton, but we're sitting at 4,700, you know,
About, I mean, we can pay like 5,900 for Zach Moss coming off a shitty game last week. He's still going to see 80-85% of the backfield work. And he gets a much better matchup against Cincinnati here.
I faded Zach Moss so hard last week, and this week I'm actually down to play him because he's not going to be as chalky, and he's what, like 1,300 more than what he was last week. I mean, I literally faded the hell out of Zach Moss. I was just like, I need him to have a bad game. It's the Tennessee Titans. I know he did it, you know, earlier in the season, but I don't care. That was a fluke. I'm glad that that ended up working out, and Tyreek Hill broke, you know, the scoring, obviously. So that was great for me. However, if we pay up at 5,900, we're talking about, I mean, scraping the bottom barrel at wide receiver and flex.
Well, I mean, not really, because we have like two pay up wide receivers already. I think it can work.
Okay. Yeah. I just meant for the final two spots.
Yeah. Yeah. And we've identified some guys that are pay down options. We also have, like, you could make this roster work by making like one very interesting bet. Like, what about Marvin Mims against the Chargers? Like, he's only 3,300. Like, that's what, when we're talking about pay down options in DFS, the field is going to be so, and this is just like human psychology. The field is going to be biting off on the guys that project well. When we look at the guys that are pay down options that project well, it's like the guys that are projected at a median of like 10 fantasy points at 3,500. It's like, what does that give you? That gives you nothing in a GPP roster. A guy like Marvin Mims, who we know has like 100-yard upside on 3-2-3 catches, that's more interesting to me from these pay down guys. So like against a Chargers defense that just continues to not perform to the level of their talent under Staley.
So bizarre.
It's so weird, but like, that's the kind of bet I'm willing to make on a roster like this, where it's like, if Marvin Mims catches three balls for 100 yards and a score, you're looking at like 20 fantasy points at 3,300. That is important to a GPP roster. So, and we saw it with Alec Pierce last week. Like, he was entering the optimal discussion because he put up 100 yards and a touchdown at 3,300. Marvin Mims is a guy that can do that.
Yeah, I mean, I will say MVS has been getting downfield targets repeatedly. I think that's a guy at 3K that I get behind. Sky Moore, although he's not as involved in the offense, you still want a piece of the Bills and Chiefs game, but you want to fade the rest of it. That's still an opportunity you can get in on. There's a handful of guys that are down here. I mean, we talk about Parker Washington, who I think could easily get there. I know he has a tougher matchup up against the Browns, but over there in the slot, I think that it's an excellent opportunity, you know, for him to find a way for CJ Beathard to find those checkdowns, to get the ball into somebody's hands without taking a bunch of sacks. That could be a route to go.
Williams down at 3,500.
I love Jameson Williams up against the Bears.
There's options down here.
All right. So which route do you think would suffice or would benefit this one the most? Because we just named probably five guys that I'm all in love with.
Yeah. Let's go JMO. That'll leave us with what? I mean, still, I mean, yeah, with 5K for the flex player. 4,800 for flex, if something like that.
Yeah, we're sitting at 4,800.
Yeah,
for that flex
plenty,
spot.
Plenty.
Yeah, I mean it's ridiculous. We're looking at Kareem Hunt popped up in the injury report today. I didn't see what that was. I don't know if you did.
Mm-mm, I didn't.
To be honest with you, that 4,800 range. Let me switch over to flex because that was not looking too hot. Yeah. I don't like, you know, I'm seeing, and by the way, we can still alter this defense. We have the Browns, which we paid up for. We can pay down if we need to, and then we can pay up for a better defense if we find a guy that's a little bit cheaper, like a Drake London that we like, you know, who might have standalone value. Elijah Moore's in there at 45.
What about Jerry Jeudy? We didn't go with Marvin Mims.
I was thinking Jerry Jeudy before the show started, and then I just completely talked myself out of it because he's just so gross to have to fit in there. But you want him to do well. You think he's going to do well. I mean, Cortland Sutton's going to receive a lot of attention. Let's do it. Fuck it. Let's do it.
Okay. Yeah, because we went Drake London last roster, so change it up a little bit on this one.
Yeah, honestly, I'd almost be more inept to play Joshua Kelly. You know, if Austin Eckler doesn't kick it off, Denver gives off the most explosive plays to the running back position as well, and I think they're up there in terms of scoring opportunities. Like you brought up, running back position is inflated by that one game, but it is breakaway run opportunities, which they didn't see an enormous amount of those in that game. There was a lot, but there wasn't enormous. There was a lot of passing. So yeah, let's go ahead and hit enter. We are in there, and I'm going to keep us on this screen as we go to our last contest, and we talk about some of these sleepers that we actually would like to fit into our lineups. Where would we like to start with our sleepers? And by the way, sleepers could be people that just aren't being played. They could be expensive. They could be cheap. It's up to us to define a sleeper.
Let's go with Lamar Jackson and Isaiah Likely.
All right. Isaiah Likely. That's a hell of a sleeper right there.
Yeah, he's everyone like in best ball season was like, Isaiah Likely, dude, this guy is ultra like talented. All he needs is an injury to Mark Andrews.
Many shares of Isaiah Likely.
Yeah. And now that we're in DFS season, it's like Isaiah Likely has shit the bed twice. Now he's trash. It's like, no, he's still pretty good at football, dude.
Yeah. That makes me nervous. But honestly, the Rams are so good up against outside wide receivers. I could see this happening.
Yeah.
You know, I don't hate this start. And as for, you know, other tight ends that I really like at the sleeper position, I mean, Kincaid faces the Chiefs, right? This is a way to get in on that game without having to get too heavily invested. The Chiefs have allowed double-digit points to two of the three best tight ends they played, or decent tight ends, I should say, they played. One of them that they didn't allow the double-digit points to was Sam Laporta, which was week one, which he wasn't getting a full snap share. So they've allowed double-digit points to the two that actually were worth it at the time that they played.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Chiefs have been very good up against the wide receivers. So, you know, I expect them to do some work up against Stephon Diggs, of course, and Gabriel Davis, I just don't see having a game. So Josh Allen's going to have to find, you know, somewhere to go with that ball. I mean, unless he's throwing dots like, you know, Jordan Love, I don't know if he's going to be able to have as many passing yards. However, you still have an opportunity for Dalton Kincaid to get there. And Chiefs have been good up against the tight end. They just haven't been as great as the numbers might, you know, indicate that they have been. So I love him as a sleeper. Now, I do want to throw one other sleeper out there for you before we get into a build. And I just want to get your take on this because he's still expensive. He's sitting at 6,300. And that's Adam Thielen up against the Saints. You talked about earlier how, like, we're weighing too much into what have you done throughout the whole season versus what have you done recently. Mm-hmm. And the Saints recently have been horrendous on defense. They've allowed the third, I believe, or fourth most points over the past 3 weeks. And we know that they struggle in the slot. I mean, when Thielen did play them earlier in the season, he put up 20 points on them. I know that there's a corollary out there saying, hey, they're just trying to get the younger players involved. But on the outside, Paulson and Yiadom have been actually very, very good. Meanwhile, their slot corner, what's his name? Taylor. He has been horrendous. He's been one of the worst slot corners in the entire league. I mean, Adam Thielen has a green light this week, just completely dominate. And if you think that the offensive coordinator is going to sit there and call plays for Bryce Young and say, hey, we want you to pass to your other guys. You know, Adam Thielen's going to be running the most routes in the entire team, but we want you to pass to the other guys instead, although Adam Thielen is going to be open. That's not going to be the case. Adam Thielen comes out of this game with at least, what, 7 receptions, probably like 60 yards, and a touchdown, putting up right around that 20 points at 6,300. You know, you get 2 touchdowns out of, which I think is very likely if you know, we see the Panthers put up at least, what, 3 or even 2 touchdowns, he could have both of them. I mean, how are you feeling about that take with Adam Thielen out of the slot?
Yeah, I think Thielen is fine. This offense has looked so bad under Frank Reich.
It's
looked even worse with Thomas Brown, the offensive coordinator. When he was in charge of calling plays those 4 games, it's looked even worse. So I don't know. Thielen is a guy that I think you can continue to play, especially he's probably going to come in at his cheapest price since his blowout games earlier in the season and at his lowest ownership potentially. So I think that's fine. Yeah.
Okay. Just wanted to throw it out there. It doesn't have to be in this lineup. I just, while we were on sleepers, I wanted to go ahead and throw that one out there as more expensive sleeper. Now, do you want to talk some more about sleepers, or do you want to go ahead and get into the rest of this build and save some of those sleepers for the end, the tail end of this conversation?
Well, a lot of the guys that we were kind of in that sleeper discussion, we've talked about through our first 2 builds. So I think we can just go into the builds, honestly.
All right. Where are we looking at for this? Do we need to run it back with maybe like a Kyren Williams, you know, Cooper Kupp?
I think Kyren makes a lot of sense, honestly. We saw like everyone was talking about him against Arizona. And obviously he went out and put up 41 yeah. fantasy points. And then nobody was talking about him against Cleveland, who, again, we talked about earlier, is facing the highest rush rate against. So I played the crap out of him last week at 7,200 against Cleveland. He now gets a Ravens team that is no longer like as elite against the run. I mean, they're still above average. Michael Pierce being just that immovable object in there is going to do that for you. But any back seeing 22 to 25 running back opportunities on a weekly basis, like just play him, dude. I'll just play him and see, let variance take over. Can he score 2 touchdowns in this matchup? I don't know. Maybe. I'm just going to play him.
All right, let's do it. I'm down to play Kyren Williams. I think that he's a fun play. I just think the situation has to be right. You know, and this obviously creates that correct situation. Now, it seems like we're getting a little bit risky here if we don't play some of these more expensive wide receivers. Is there an expensive wide receiver that you really like in this type of situation? I mean, Justin Jefferson, that's going to be tough to play the rest of the lineups. Ja'Marr Chase, a little more feasible, yeah. Still got the targets.
Let's do Chris Olave, dude.
Chris Olave at 7K mm-hmm. up against Carolina. Okay. All right.
Yeah. And this is another situation where it's like, what have you done recently? And Carolina has been more susceptible to giving up air yards through the air. And you look at the situation in New Orleans, we likely to see Derek Carr miss concussion again. He did get a limited practice today on Wednesday, but that is going to have to be upgraded to full at some point to indicate that he's in the final stages of the concussion protocol. So if we get JMO, like Chris Olave is a guy that's seeing like 50% of the air yards or something insane with JMO or Jameson Williams under center or Jameis Winston there. Let's talk about the right person.
I knew it was
here.
Happening. I was going to let you work that one out.
Yeah. So, I think Chris Olave is super interesting on a week where there's question marks kind of across the board amongst the top pass catchers.
It's kind of funny because it comes in last week and has the most Jameis Winston ever throw. I think it was his first completion to Olave where it hits off the defender's hand. Should have been an interception. You know, Olave catches it for a big gain, sets him up for a touchdown. I like the call. I think it's very interesting, and it kind of opens the door for playing Adam Thielen. I don't know.
Yeah, let's do it.
Are you down? You down? You want to play that? All right.
Yeah, let's do it.
I didn't think – I thought that you were just being, you know, polite. I didn't think you'd actually be down to go for Adam
Thielen. No.
But
I think jumping back to, like, psychological aspects of DFS, if you remove the name of players priced between, like, 6K and 7K, that range of player at wide receiver – is just going to be lower owned on a weekly basis than like it, because you talk about paying $7K for a Chris Olave. It's like, why wouldn't I just pay the extra $1,000 and get exposure to like Mike Evans, Amon-Ra St. Brown, you know, like the elite tier? It's harder to click on the names that are in that price range. So having two of them on a roster is highly, highly a leveraged stance for us. So I like it. I like it a lot.
All right. So we have Lamar Jackson, Kyrie Williams, Chris Olave, Adam Thielen, Isaiah Likely for their tight end. And then I just put in for a placeholder for the time being, the Bengals defense. Man, this is looking pretty good. It's looking interesting, at least. Like, I will say this has not been my favorite lineup that I've ever seen put together on this show, but it has me so intrigued as to the directions that it can go. Because Lamar Jackson could have that big game on the ground. You have Kyron Williams, who is going to be heavily involved and could see that efficiency rise. You have Chris Olave and an Adam Thielen run back. Like, that's just fun, right? Just to see what could happen in terms of touchdowns and opportunity. Where do we go from here? We have, let's see, 5K left per player.
Yeah, so it's a question on, do we want to be like balanced with that 5K? Do we want to spend money on like a running back or another wide receiver in the same range? Where do you want to take this one?
Then honestly, like, we just named like 10 guys earlier that we think that, you know, could at least pay off their value, if not give you a massive upside game over there in the 3 to 4K range. I think Parker Washington was one of them. MVS was one of them. Who did you mention that was right there, you know, on the edge? That was one of them. And then Jamison Williams, who you mentioned as well.
Yeah, Marvin Mims.
Marvin Mims. I mean, all these guys have potential to give us these big time, you know, type plays. Is there one like maybe running a Jamison Williams with a DJ Moore, you know, type corollary, right? Where it's still there. We don't need to be this high scoring game, but if each one of those guys gets us a touchdown, you know, a couple big plays, we're in the money. Meanwhile, you have, you know, the possibility of maybe running Marvin Mims with, you know, one of the studs over there from the Chargers, like a Keenan Allen type play. Or we might have MVS with Stephon Diggs. Do you want to try and go that route, or do you even care about going that route?
Dude, throw in, this is very interesting. Throw in DJ Moore with JMO, and then pop in Alexander Mattison, and we're left at 2,700 with defense.
And then Alexander Mattison is where you want to go?
Yeah. And then probably the Chiefs defense, probably the best fit.
I kind of like that Chiefs defense this week. It's interesting.
Yeah. Same.
All right. So we have Lamar Jackson. We've got Kyron Williams. We've got Alexander Mattison, Chris Olave, Adam Thielen, DJ Moore, Isaiah Likely, Jamison Williams, and the Chiefs defense. It was really funny because as I'm sitting there and I'm mentioning this stuff, I just see your brain start working. Your eyes are working across the page. You're like, that actually sounds kind of dope. Let's do this. I like it, man. I'm down for this. We have two. Pretty much what we're projecting is we're talking about very concentrated scoring for three games. And we're going to get significant scores from all three of those games with, you know, a player on each side. We add in Alexander Mattison because of the volume and because we think that Minnesota could go up, maybe get some goal line touches, right? Maybe two touchdowns, what we're thinking from Alexander Mattison. And then we take the Chiefs defense because they've been red hot, and we don't think that this game could be high scoring. We're pretty much betting against this game.
Yeah, and the leverage of playing the Chiefs defense this week is kind of off the charts because you wreck, like, six guys in the process. So, like, based on what we've seen from the Chiefs, is like, if they are able to score a defensive score and you know, pick off Josh Allen two or three times, which he's shown the propensity to do, it could like wreck a lot of players that people are going to be on this week from that game.
Love it, man. All right, Mark, I gotta press submit, man. We got three $12 entries in to DraftKings over here. I mean, which one was your favorite lineup?
I think this last one, to be honest.
Yeah, for even small contests, for big contests, just in general.
Yeah, just in general.
I like it, man. I like it. All right, let's go ahead and let's get out of here, Mark. Do you have anything else to add? You want to let anybody know, you know, where to find you, what you're doing?
Yeah, man. Obviously, First Mover comes out Tuesday early evening, so check me out over there. Check out 1 week season, which is where I do most of my primary stuff. Check out 30-30. I'm a little bit of a fantasy whore, man. I'm kind of everywhere. Check out my work on NBC. Yeah, dude, let's go. But I appreciate having me on, dude. This was fun.
No, of course, man. I love having you on, man. You always kind of, I guess you throw a wrench into, you know, just the whole concept of DFS. So that's why we like listening to you, man. Obviously, it's fun to listen to in the beginning of the week. Y'all got to go check him out over there on the First Mover podcast. And then make sure you guys check out the game plan. If you're listening to the podcast, it should be up here in a couple hours. If you're watching us on YouTube, it should be up tomorrow morning around noon Eastern time. So go check out the game plan, y'all. Thank you guys for tuning in. We are out here.
Hey, I want to take a moment to thank you for tuning in. It's important to me that all of our media be free. This is only possible because of you allowing a true independent sports media enterprise to thrive unlike any other in the business. So please subscribe to the All-In Package to continue to make all of this possible, to ensure that all of our stats, information, data, content is available to you, especially you, the people that get the site and get the show.